That'll be Friday afternoon, so continue to pray for me. I'm not 100%, but much, much better than I was. If you have your scriptures with you, let's turn to Ephesians. We're back in Ephesians today. We'll be in chapter 5, looking at verses 15 to 21. I think if you're using a Pew Bible, it would be page 978. As you're turning there, let me give you a little brief review of where we've been. For the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at some of the Christmas narratives, so we're jumping our way back into Ephesians. We've been doing a series entitled Living Lives of Transforming Grace, that in our walk with God, it's a walk of His undeserved love to us. It's a walk of His power transforming us, for at one time we weren't seeking God, but He sought us out in His grace and transforms us and makes us new creations, and then we try to strive after being the image of God, whom we're always meant to be, to live more and more like the life of Christ. We've covered four chapters thus far. We're in chapter 5 this morning. A quick, brief overview of those first four chapters. In chapter 1, it talks about God's love, the Trinitarian love for His people. That God, before the foundation of this world, set His love upon a particular people, and He chose us to be rescued, to be redeemed. He thought of you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ before He made anything else. He was thinking of you. And He said, I will send my Son. I will send my Son to rescue, to redeem you. I will send my Son to live the life of righteousness that you couldn't do for yourself. I will send my Son to die the death that you deserved, and that you will be holy and blameless in my sight, all because of Jesus. And we'll receive that through faith in Him. And he talks about the Holy Spirit takes all those things that Jesus did in His earthly ministry and applies them and seals them to our hearts. That's what chapter 1 is mainly about. It talks about that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It's not in our striving, it's not in our doing, but fully resting and trusting in Christ alone. Chapter 2 talks about this big transformation, that we were all children, by nature, children of wrath, that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, that we weren't searching for God. We were just following the course of the world, following the course of Satan. And God, in His mercy, sends the Holy Spirit and breathes life into our souls to wake us up, to see how desperate our need and our situation was. And we turn and put our faith in Christ, saying that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, and that we were made to do good works, to honor Christ. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3 is this great chapter of saying that Jewish believers and Gentile believers, that's everybody else in the world, whether you're from China, Russia, Canada, we're all one. We're all this one kingdom that Jesus is building, that we're all co-heirs, we're equal, that the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we're making this big kingdom, that God is building this kingdom all over the world in Christ Jesus. And it was a good reminder that we are together in this as the body of Christ. And then chapter 4, it's the great transition. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 talks about our identity. This is who you are in Christ, chosen, holy, blameless, in God's sight because of what Christ has done through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is who you are. That will never change. And Paul prays that we would understand that more and more and more in our lives. And then chapter 4 is the great transition. It says, now go walk in a manner worthy of that calling. You've been called to something great, something that's tremendous, that is a free gift. Now go walk in a manner that's worthy of that calling with all humility, gentleness, and love. And he goes on and on and on. And then in chapter 5, he continues the thought, but he says it this way. He says, be imitators of God. He says, be imitators of God and walk in love. High callings, right? Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us. He talks about putting away sexual morality, putting away crude talking, and to walk and imitate God in all things. So that's where we pick up this morning, this idea of continuing to walk in a manner worthy of our calling and walking in a way that imitates God. And left to ourselves, we couldn't do this. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he'll talk about here in this text. This text, 15 through 21, is actually one sentence in the Greek. Paul was writing like I would for an English test, in which I would probably get an F. There's too many subjects and objects I'll put together in one sentence. our translations put some commas in there and try to break them out. But hopefully you'll see some of the connections and the parallels that Paul just has to go, and lay out all these beautiful truths of the powerful workings of the Spirit in our lives. So let me pray, and then we'll read these verses, and then we'll see what God has for us. Father, we pray that you would teach us this morning that you are a God of all circumstances, and that we're here for a particular reason this morning that right now matters, that you want us here to hear your word, to hear your truth, to understand the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we're not the same, that it's not the same old, same old, that we're not stuck in the same rut, but there can be real transformation, there can be real change in how we think and what we say and what we do, what we don't do, do the things that you call us to do, and to make much of Christ, to see him as the supreme greatest thing in all of the universe, for everything he is and all that he's done. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would transform your people, your church, to remember, to reflect, to grab a hold of what you're calling us to do, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For there's great change there. There's great peace there. All the longing of our hearts are met in Christ through the Spirit. So teach us, we pray, in his name. Amen. So verses 15 through 21. Paul writes, "Look carefully, then, how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." That ends our reading for this morning. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what God is saying this morning. As you begin year 2020, it's going to be hard for me not to hear Barbara Walters say that. If you're those who are familiar with Barbara Walters in the news, this is 2020. That's her news show. As you begin to think of the year 2020, I want you to take time to assess and ask yourself this question. Who or what is the biggest influence in my life? Who or what impacts your thoughts? Who speaks into your life that you're willing to consider and believe and maybe change the way you think about things? Who or what steers or sways your emotions and the desires of your heart in your day-to-day routines and relations of life? Whose influence are you living under? There are many people and many circumstances that will go through life that can influence us, either for good or for ill. This morning, Paul is calling us to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the third person of our triune God, one God in three persons, that we should live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, not just during this hour of worship, but on Monday when you wake up, when you make breakfast, when you interact with the kids, when you interact with your spouse, when you interact with those on the street, when you interact with your neighbor, that we are to live under the influence and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 18, he says, "Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit." Don't fill up on wine to the point where you're drunk, but drink in everything that the Holy Spirit has for you in this life. Paul wants us to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to live a life of transforming grace. So the first question we ask, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What in the world does that mean? Let me talk a little bit about the multi-layered work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's at work applying and sealing all the benefits of Christ to our lives. So in the scripture, the Holy Spirit talks about the Holy Spirit calling his people. That maybe somebody witnesses to you. That somebody shares a Bible verse with you. Or maybe you go to a church and you hear a guy like me preaching the Word of God to you. Or you hear a song on the radio that talks about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will use all of those means to draw you. To draw you to Jesus. To say, hey, consider this one who was crucified. Consider this one who says there's salvation. Consider this one who offers eternal life. Consider this one who brings forgiveness. The Holy Spirit draws us and starts us to consider and think. And then there will be a point in time where the Holy Spirit regenerates us. We talk about his work of regenerating. You might have heard the term being born again. There will be a time where you'll recognize that in and of ourselves, I am morally bankrupt. There's nothing in my hands that I can take and say, God, here, look what I have done. This should get me into heaven, okay? There's none. When we come to realize that and we see Christ who says, I have come to be the Lamb of God. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life. When you see those things and the lights go on and you have affections for Christ as Savior and Lord, that's the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're born again. And then he continues to work in our lives to make us holy, to make us more and more like Christ. That's his sanctifying work. Today we talked about him as one who comes alongside us, who dwells us, to walk with us, to give us strength. He's our paraclete. Today, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit dwells with us, he never leaves us. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way that it is written, it's to be an ongoing request. It's something that we are to seek out continually in our Christian walk. One of your prayers should be, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Another way to say it is, Lord, give me the fullness of the Holy Spirit today. Let me live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a request to speak in tongues. There will be some who will teach those things that you're a low-class Christian until you speak in tongues. That's not the truth of the Scriptures. But there's this call to be filled. And here's what I think it means. I think it means at least three things if you're taking notes. It means at least three things. That when I pray in the morning or when I pray through the day and I say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, I want to remember who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. That my identity is rooted in the person and work of Christ. That before God I am holy. That before God I am blameless. That this God who created me is for me and he will walk me through this day. Help me remember everything I am in Christ. Fill me with the fullness. Because one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Christ. That's one thing I'm asking. And then the other two things that I'm asking when I'm asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, empower me to put away those things in my lives that ought not to be there, in my thinking pattern, in my actions, the things that I'm called to do and I'm not doing. Lord, empower me to put those things off and empower me to do the things you're calling me to do. So it's at least three things. It's being filled with the fullness of God, living under the Holy Spirit, his influence, to walk by the Spirit, as it says in Galatians. We do it through his power, through his strength. This idea of filling, MacArthur talks about, he gives us some word pictures to help us understand it. So this idea of being filled with the Spirit, think of the wind filling a sail of a boat to power it to go. So when you're asking to be filled with the Spirit, you want to be empowered to be witnesses, to be empowered to serve, to be empowered to do the things of God. Another way to picture it, you ever throw a stick in the river and you watch it float? The river carries the stick down. And so to be filled with the Spirit is this idea to be carried along by the Spirit of God. Another one, illustration he gives is think of Alka-Seltzer. you ever get the upset stomach, you put the fuzzy tablets in the water, and the Alka-Seltzer will dissolve and fill the whole water with its power. That's what we're asking the Spirit to do, to have a fullness of what He wants us to do, to enable us to do the things that He wants us to do in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for 2020, he's saying, seek more and more to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to live under His influence, to live a life of transforming grace. If you do that, these are some of the things that will happen. You'll have a Spirit-filled life that will live with intentionality, knowing that right now matters. You'll live a Spirit-filled life of intentionality, knowing that right now matters. In verse 15, Paul says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. When you live under the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll begin to see that right now matters. That 2020 matters. That this day, January 5th, matters. Whether you're 2 or 82, what you say, what you do has a rippling effect around those and can make a dramatic difference for the kingdom of God around you. Paul says, make the best use of time, and the word is kairos in the Greek. And so this idea of kairos, time, think of a season, think of an opportunity. At this moment, Paul says, seize it, redeem it, make it holy. He says, yeah, the days are evil. There is corruption. There's pollution all around. But you who had polluted hearts and have been redeemed by Christ, that you've experienced that transformation in your life, now you can be a person of transformation in those around you. Right now matters. He's saying, leave your mark. He's saying, let the world know. Let your friends know. Let your neighbors know. Let your co-workers know that you have been transformed by King Jesus, and that you represent King Jesus, and you're right here, and there's a difference because Jesus is in the world. He's saying, make a difference in this season of time, in this opportunity that you have, that Pitcairn Presbyterian Church, in this world full of corruption and evil that we've all been exposed to and rescued from, that we can make a difference. That people say, we were helped here, that we were cared for here, that we learned of Jesus here, that I came to faith here. Right now matters. And Paul says, make the best use of it. We all have the same amount of time, and whether you're in sports or work or retirement or working at home, he's saying, make the atmosphere holy. Make the atmosphere different. Be an ambassador for Christ. Make the best of every opportunity where you're at. I know a lady just recently who, while she was working, she had a customer. She came in and she was kind of upset, and she was talking to the lady, and the lady told her that her sister had recently passed. A few days later, she said her husband was diagnosed with cancer. And this lady says, I feel I need to pray for you. This is a lady working during work hours. And the customer's just sharing these things, and she's seeing that God is up to something. God is letting this woman share these things with her. She goes, I feel like I ought to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And the woman said, yeah, I need prayer. Right there in the middle of work, she just prayed. And that woman was so encouraged. She sees the opportunity. It was right there before her. She could live a life of transforming grace and be a vessel of grace to this woman that God brought right into her path. He says, seize the opportunity. He says, look carefully how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. The idea is exactness, thoroughness with diligence. He's saying, be wise. Don't be unwise. Don't just hear about the teachings of Christ. Just don't know the things of Christ, but live the things of Christ. In the moments of life, examine how you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're doing, and are they pleasing to Christ? He's saying, be thorough, be diligent, walk carefully. He's saying, live intentionally in the present, live intentionally in the now, walk with exactness, walk with thoroughness in the ways of Christ. Your choices matter. You can make a big difference right where you are, right now. Jonathan Edwards, he has a book, and he wrote out 70 resolutions, and if you want to be really challenged of resolutions for the new year, read that book. You'll just be like, ugh, I don't even come close. And one of them is with time. He says, I resolve never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Hear what he says? He says, I resolve never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I can. Especially for the things of Christ. Seize the opportunity. Live a Spirit-filled life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and take advantage of the opportunities that God lays before you. The next thing you see is if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can live a Spirit-filled life of joy, peace, and self-control. In verse 17, he says, do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, but for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In these two verses, I see a parallel going on. When Paul says, don't be foolish, in verse 17, that's the same idea in verse 18, don't get drunk. And when he says, understand what the will of the Lord is in verse 17, that's the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18. We can be very foolish when we try to live outside the will of the Lord. And one way we do that is by getting drunk. Today, it's whatever the drug of choice is. People, we often will get drunk or high usually because they're not happy with their life and they want to enhance it. Or maybe they don't have a peace about a certain situation and they're depressed and they go to the alcohol to try to cope. Sometimes it's the pressure of just wanting to fit in with a crowd and don't want to be the odd man out. And there's things that seem to promise peace and joy just leaves us reckless and out of control with all kinds of consequences. When the buzz wears off, it's just more pain, more sadness, more depression, more loneliness, and we become enslaved to this thing. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. It just leads to reckless, immoral behavior. As Joe likes to say, you're out of control. Just don't go there. Paul says, don't do those things. Know what the will of the Lord is and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Recall the truth of who you are in Christ. When things are seems out of control in your life, don't turn to something that makes you more out of control. You turn to the one who's overseeing, the one who will empower you. I always love the Heidelberg question, what is your only comfort in life and death? What is your only comfort in all of life? What is your only comfort in death? It answers that I am not my own. That I am not my own, but I belong both body and soul, in life or death, to my perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood. He sets me free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in such a way that not anything happens to me apart from the will of my Father. In fact, not a single hair can fall from my head apart from the will of my Father. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. And the Holy Spirit now assures me of eternal life, and He makes me ready to live for Him all the days of my life. Great truths that you need to memorize, great truths you need to know, that when you go through those moments and you're not sure how to cope, you say, I know my God. He sent His Son, and He's rescued me. And in fact, all things must work together for my good. Nothing comes across my life unless it's a part of His will and His plan. And the Holy Spirit is with me. That's where you'll find joy. That's where you'll find peace. That's where you'll find self-control. Rehearsing, remembering, asking to be filled with the fullness of those truths by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, don't get drunk. Don't get high. There's no lasting joy. There's no lasting peace there. But ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to put away those things in your heart that ought not to be there and to empower you for service, to empower you to believe, to empower you just to get through another day. So how do you know what the will of the Lord is? You've been given a revelation. You've been given a text message. This is your text message. Sometimes we get excited when we get that Snapchat from a friend. Sometimes we get excited when we get that letter in the mail. Here's 66 letters of God's love for you. If you want to know what the will of the Lord is, it's right here. It's the new year. It's a good way to start to get back into the scriptures, to know who God is. In your bulletin, if you haven't seen it yet, here's a Bible reading plan. You want to strive to do something this year, strive to read the Bible in the year, the whole Bible year. You can do it quicker if you want. But if you devote 15, 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you use this plan, you'll get through the whole of the scriptures. And you'll know more and more of the will. It'll cause you to hunger and thirst more. It'll cause questions you can come and ask and ask people about. But it's a way to study, to grow. 15, 20 minutes a day. Can you give God 15 or 20 minutes a day to know what the will of the Lord is? To know how to live. To know who this Christ is. To know where you're going. To know what your purpose is. To know what it means to be human. Just think how often you need to drink water. You need to drink at least 8 glasses a day. And if you don't get dehydrated, we are called to drink in God's Word, to be filled with His Spirit. And that is through His Word. Sometimes we want this revelation. Sometimes we want the Spirit to move and teach us something new. And God says, right here it is. It's right here. Look on your Bible app. Look at all the Bibles in your bookshelf. And read it. You're called to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that occurs by reading His Word. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So when you find yourself in a place that's hard, rather than turning to drugs or alcohol, you turn to the truths of God to find comfort. Let me give you an example. If you still have your scriptures, turn to Romans 5, and we'll look at verses 1 to 8. I just want to give you an example of knowing what the will of the Lord is in the midst of hard times. Romans 5, verses 1 to 8. These are truths to soak in, truths to know, truths to meditate on, to chew on, like a dog chews on a bone. You learn these things and you take them in and you make them part of you, part of your being. Romans 5, great truths to know. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into His grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And our hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through who? The Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the trial, when you want to turn to other things to try to cope, see that God is at work. That He's doing a work of transformation in your heart, in your character, in what it means to be human. And there's peace in that. There's joy in that. Not in the other things. Not in the alcohol. Not in the drugs. It says, know what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where you'll find joy, peace, and self-control. That's just one example. That's just one. 8 verses. You go in there and circle them words, those verbs and adjectives. It's good stuff. And lastly, if you live a Spirit-filled life full of the Holy Spirit, you'll have a life of worship, thanksgiving, and honor. In 19, he says, address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. When you have been changed and filled by the Spirit of God, how can you keep from singing? One of the songs. When you realize the great forgiveness that you have in Christ. When you know you have a living hope in Christ who has a purpose in all things. How can you not keep from singing? Unless you're like Gary, who sings about everywhere he goes. I don't know if you've ever been around Gary. When he's walking around, he usually has a tune in his voice, in his heart. Paul says, address one another in song. He's talking about worship. Paul says, let each other hear one another sing. When you sing the great truths of Scripture, I'm hearing things of Christ. I am being filled with the Holy Spirit. When I hear you sing songs like On Jordan's Stormy Banks, in the midst of great struggle and great loss, we sing that chorus, I am bound, I am bound, I am bound for the promised land. When I hear you sing, I see people raise their hands in the midst of heartache and trouble, it ministers to me. It fills me with the Spirit of God. When I hear you sing the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. We minister one another when we lift up our voices and sing. He says, sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and sing to the Lord. Exalt Christ. Make much of Christ. He loves you immensely. He's died to save your soul. He's died to give you a living hope. He's died to transform you, to make you the new human you are always to be. He's died to make you like him, and he's going to bring you all the way home. It's all of him. He says, sing to one another, sing to the Lord, and give thanks. When you're spirit-filled, you'll see all the little details of life that you never saw, and you're like, wow, God was working in that. God is in the midst of that. He is there. And it'll become a person that's more honoring to others. This idea of submitting to one another, we'll talk about it more next week. God has set up authority, structure. But there's this general equity of, I honor you. You honor me. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. I desire what's best for you. We try to have the mind of Christ where we don't consider just the interests of our own, but what helps you? What helps you? How can I serve you? How can I lift you up in these things? We're called to honor one another. So as you begin the year 2020, how have you been doing this last week, the last year? Take time to assess who or what has the biggest influence in your life. Who or what impacts and steers your emotions, your thoughts, and your actions. And Paul says, live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Spirit to remind you of who you are in Christ. Ask him to empower you to put away the things in your life that ought not to be there. Ask him to empower you to put on the things in your life that ought to be there. And live under his power. We need his power. It talks about dunamis in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit's power is like dunamis, like dynamite. We got God's power right there. He says, be filled with it. Seek it. Consume it. Consume his word and ask the Spirit to work to help to remember to change and transform you. And when you do that, you will know right now matters. You matter. You can make a difference. You can have joy, peace, and control and live a life of worship and thanksgiving and honor. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would do your mighty work in our lives. Help us to make much of Christ. The only way that we can do that is to know him more. We thank you for giving us a text message. We thank you for giving us your word that we can know him, that we can study him, that we can follow his ways. Holy Spirit, empower us. Empower us, we pray, to be intentional to be intentional about our time, to seek you, to seek your fullness, to be full of you, to know that there's peace with Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.